Okay, this is September 29th, and this is questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, it's nice to see so many gods and goddesses in one room. And I hope that is finally sinking into you, that you're finally accepting that as your reality. It's the only way you're going to get through this life. Is by knowing that and letting all the rest go by.
Thank
you. So we're going to have questions and answers tonight, and we were talking all month about the keys to the kingdom. So some of the things that we learned, I hope, with that is it's your mind that's doing everything. The keys to everything is in your mind. So you have to change your thinking, and you have to learn to see things differently, or what we call correctly, instead of looking through all the filters that we have put on our eyes all these years. We start to take the filters off so that we can see well. One of the things that were pinpointed in the month was... something. I know it's going to come true. It's going to be there any moment. It's come and gone twice now. I know. Remember that thing I said, perfect peace to he whose mind is stayed on thee. That is how you find the keys of the kingdom. You must keep your mind peaceful all the time. And we don't do that enough, so. Learn to do that for yourself and learn to correct your own thinking when you know it's off somewhere. Just correct it. And you will see all the difference in the world once you can control your mind and your thinking. All right, I'm opening up for questions. Mr. August.
Oh, sure.
I don't have it.
I have a question. Oh, go ahead. What does metaphysics say about the our soul, as far as like that which we come from, that's which we are before we're here? Like, what do we know about the other side, as far as like where we come from and what the intention of coming here was and all that?
Very little.
Are there any clues?
No. Well, there no. There are no clues. You have to figure that out. Each and every person individually figures that out, what's going on. But there are no real clues or any real way to do it. And we always are talking about this thing called soul and all that. Well, we're connected to the universe. That's all we have to know about that, you know. See, we're worried about their soul. I never worry about my soul. My soul is in perfect condition.
So, are we allowed to ask you what you think about what happens to your perfect soul when you...
Well, the perfect soul always stays a soul. You're always going to have the soul.
Always.
Always.
Eternal.
For eternity. Yes, because matter can neither be created nor destroyed, and we happen to be that. We are pure energy. So, we'll lose this body, but the consciousness will remain the same. You see? All we're ever talking about is mind and consciousness, and you must build that.
And it's a continuum.
Oh, absolutely.
It's been way back.
Don't you remember in the, if you went to church or anything, it's world without end?
Yeah.
Yes, it's always going to be world without end. It's going to continue.
Yeah. You know, Andy just asked, are there any clues of this or that? Don't you think it depends on where you look?
Well, I'll always.
Whether you look within or...
Well, there's nothing on the outside of life, so if you're looking at on the outside of life, you're never going to find anything. Mm-hmm. Just, that's the illusion that we have, and that's how convincing the world is. It tells you that your happiness is in a Coca-Cola bottle.
Pepsi.
You want joy and happiness, drink a Coke or something. No, happiness and joy you have to do and pull from your own self. You have to do that for your own, and we don't. We rely on other things, and we rely on the world to stimulate us into doing something. Well, the world doesn't stimulate you into doing anything. You have to do that yourself. Does that help anybody?
Mm-hmm. Kind of. Because in the external world, there's feeding the ducks in the water and by the pond that's stimulating and fills the soul. So that's.
But when you're feeding the ducks,
I'm still connected to
who
the
are
ducks.
You fed if you're connected to the ducks? You are
the
duck. You are the duck.
Yes, I feel that.
Yes.
So that's really not on the outside.
No, it's not. Nothing is on the outside of life. It's funny and it fools people all the time. Oh, that's from the outside. No, everything is from the inside. And a lot of people, you know, live on the outside of life all their life. And that's, they watch other people do it and they think that's what life is. That is not what life is. But what can you do, you know? If they don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, you just let them go, you know, and have to love them anyway, you know. Next, please. Paula, you don't have a question. You always have questions.
I have a situation.
Oh, good. Tell me.
So, I met disrupted by a couple who are representing, and they don't think the way I think, and they don't really respect. But they hired me, but they don't really listen because it's not what they want. And then they have like sort of accusatory kinds of questions, like I'm trying to manipulate them when I'm not, and it's very frustrating.
Because they're living in the world, and you're not living in the world anymore. So you just have to love them, bless them, release them, and see, you know, well, that's their reality. It's not my reality. But they're going to come around to my way of thinking.
Do I try to convince them? Or
no.
No. Okay.
You don't. You stay yourself and you keep loving them and loving them and loving them.
Okay.
And then they will start to change.
Oh. They'll start to change, or we'll see, we'll change our perception of them.
They'll start to change.
Send them a basket of green apples.
Yes, there.
It will physically loosen them up. Well, it untightens your liver. And when you're uptight, your liver is hot and tight. It's strong.
Yeah, Johnny Apple two-step.
Green apple jam or something. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I thought about getting them a gift today. It's
funny. You know, fruit sweetens
so
people up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you want her to try to manipulate them?
No, but you can try to.
But you couldn't help it.
I love the pile.
Yeah.
You know, certain way.
He said that, so I thought it was.
They'll probably think that.
Yeah, send them love and never say they'll think that. You have no idea what people are thinking. You have no idea what they're thinking. So what do you want to do in that case? You want to give them something and know that they're going to love it and appreciate it and so forth.
The other day I was creating something, you know, I was putting this tape called glossy tape around something, and I was listening to music, and I love to dance, and that I was making something to support the blind, because I really feel like I'm still really blind, you know, like I'm not able really to see my inner being, you know, as magnificent, or to bring that out, create from within. So I had this idea of helping someone that I met with another person who was actually blind. He was panhandling for money. And I thought, I'll make these candles and send them to him to give us a gift for a donation for him. And I thought, that would be a good way for me to start seeing.
Oh, well, at least you're thinking about it, and candle is a way of seeing.
Yeah.
Provides light. Yes.
But it just made me laugh because I said, my husband supports a blind with this candle, and he didn't understand.
But how about your dancing and all? That's joy and so forth coming up to you.
It's so amazing. I know I could have been a dancer.
Well, maybe.
Probably a good dancer. But, and when I was a little kid, I wanted to do that. I asked my mom and dad for ballet shoes, and they said, oh, you can have those. You can walk in the rain with them.
God, they're not practical.
And what you did become is an artist, and you're extremely creative.
Well, yeah.
So when I danced, I see myself dancing in front of my husband's work and catching the attention.
But all that
wonderful.
And your painting and all the stuff you do, that's...
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
A lot of joy.
Yes. So, joy is fun.
Joy is fun.
When you're feeling pain, like I've got this shoulder that's bothering me.
Yes.
I go to the doctor and... I heard it while I was at the gym, probably 2 months ago. It hasn't been going away. It's pretty sore, especially when I move it certain ways. How do you practice metaphysics when you're experiencing pain in your body?
Well, the same way I do when I don't have pain in my body, but then I make an affirmation that there are no pains, aches or pains in my body. I make that affirmation every morning when I get up, and I'm very grateful and thankful that I don't have an ache or a pain in my body. Now, if you want to heal that shoulder, you must concentrate on the other shoulder. See, you never look at the shriveled hand. You always look at the good hand. No. Look at this good shoulder. Massage it and say, this is the way I want this shoulder to behave. And it will do that for you. See, you always concentrate on the problem. Don't concentrate on the problem. Concentrate on the perfection of your other shoulder. Make sense? Yeah. So use that as an experiment and see if it works for you. All life is like an experiment. We're living in a laboratory. And we're always doing experiments and so forth to see if this really works. That's all life is about. So you can do that. You just have to transfer to the other shoulder. Okay, Hel?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a situation as well. I live alone, and I have two children. My son lives in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter is in Chicago. And I have a daily heartache about them.
Because you think you're alone. Why do you think you're alone? God is always with you.
It's not that I think I'm alone because I'm okay with alone. It's that I'm not able to show the love, the physical affection, the hugging, seeing the smiles, the joy that I get when I'm with my children. It's not... poor me, I'm alone, because I'm very resourceful alone.
Well, then be resourceful with that. See your children in front of you and hug them. They don't have to be there to hug them. They don't have to be present to do any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So every morning, see your children and talk to them and hug them and give them love and so forth.
Well, I have their pictures everywhere. And
there.
I have their, talk to them on the computer and all that, but it just
that physical thing.
Well, I'm going to get a stuff dog.
Oh, well, that's
I have two cats, and I really want a dog so much. So I figured out I better get a big stuffed dog.
There you go.
Love that stuffed dog. Love that dog. See, I'm hugging myself while I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I put my sons in my mind. I imagine God's light emanating.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
From them.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's the most thing. Yes, that's the way you do it.
Yeah, it's so nice, so comforting, even that way. It's part of my thing is I worry about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
See light around.
Yeah. And in, I see light in them.
Yes. I do the particles too. I say the particles.
Oh, good, life particles. Good.
Okay. It's a lot of glass on particles to be crowned.
Visualizing. It becomes more than a visualization once you start. You can actually see the light particles. You can actually feel the light particles, and it's much more than using your imagination.
It must require more than I understand at this point how to do it.
You understand it. You just think you don't. Never tell yourself you don't understand or you need more or any of that kind of stuff. It's all here. Anything you need is right here now.
Particles.
Yes. See them come through.
Insects within them and out.
Yeah.
Pouring through them with their cells.
As an actor, we end up playing a big waiting game. Like there's a lot of downtime. There's a lot of time between things, and I'm sure there's stuff going on behind the veil. But how do we feel more a part of that on a continuous basis?
Of the industry, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, you get out and you talk to people and you see things which you do. You go to movies, you go to shows, you write, you produce, you do all that stuff.
I still feel sort of disassociated from it.
You feel disassociated because you're not employed at the present moment and money is not coming in. So you think, oh, I'm not worth anything unless I'm getting paid for it. But you're worth a great deal, and you must use your talent. And it'll come to you. You're doing all right. You're listening to the world again, aren't you?
No. What the next thing to happen, I guess. I'm impatient.
Ah. Well, work on your impatience.
In what way?
Don't be impatient. You know that things are coming your way. There's no time in the mind of God.
You've got to say, step up your game and get into knowing the door is open. We constantly command the universe, bring it to me now.
Stamp your foot.
Knowing that connect the dots is happening in my life, so to speak. It really did.
You have to use the universe. That's, remember I used to tell you you could stamp your foot and say, damn it, I want it now.
Yeah.
You can do that. Did you know
so
that?
You're saying be impatient.
That's not being impatient. That's causing an emotion.
And?
Well, yeah.
Universe?
Man.
It's done with emotions and feelings. People think it's done with thought, and it's not.
I don't know if I might have told you guys, but we're also moving into commanding the soul of different components of life. The soul of the elements, the water, the air, the earth.
Well, because we control all
the soul
those.
Of physical items.
What?
You know.
And we are all those things.
Hard things that we do.
So, right now? Are people thinking of rain? I hope. Oh, are you feeling rain? Oh. Are you tasting rain? Are you smelling rain? Are your feet in the mud? Or are you running around like everyone else saying, oh, we're in a drought, oh, we're in a drought, oh, we're in a drought? Well, if you keep saying you're in a drought, that's where you're going to be.
I've already started.
Well, you have to. You have to start feeling it.
First of all, I don't even think of them in a drought. Second of all, I'm grateful that I like the heat, I like the sun.
So I'm happy.
I don't think he should come back.
No, I don't think he's going to die.
He had a lobotomy.
Yeah, that's it. During his absence.
Right.
We're fine. We're always fine. We're always taken care of. I don't worry about stuff like that.
Everything is okay.
Yes, it's perfect.
It's true. Everything is okay.
Seriously, that's what I never, whenever I hear the word drought, I just dismiss it as another than a drought.
Well, yes, you have to dismiss that, but I hear people doing it all the time. Oh, in an awful wall, we're just like,
every year we same thing, we're in a drought. Then the electric goes up, then the gas goes up. It's the same pattern every year.
Yep.
You know, it's the same thing that happens.
You know what I remember that on that subject that you told us years ago, maybe, is that nothing is eliminated. It doesn't go anywhere.
No.
That it's
nothing enters
this
you.
A certain amount within this sphere.
Right.
And it always comes back.
Yes, because we're drinking the same water as the dinosaurs. No new water has come to this planet. Same water.
And again, it's there to be, I don't want to say bossed around, but you can...
You can use the word bossed around, but you can control it and you can, yes.
Transform into your life.
Yes. Because, why is that?
It's done unto you as you believe.
Because you always have dominion.
Okay.
You always have dominion over everything. And we forget that we have the dominion. So, same way, Jerry, you have dominion over your shoulder. You just don't know that at the present moment.
And do I have dominion over the couple that's...
Yes, absolutely.
You have dominion over your reality of how you perceive what's going on.
I understand that, but it's very difficult to put it in practice when you're ill or when someone you love is ill.
Yes.
It's very difficult to...
Yes. And this is the time, the very time that you need this teaching and so forth, because most people, as long as everything is going hunky-dory, they love this teaching. Mm-hmm. Soon as something bad happens, they do not like this teaching, and they leave it. And that's the time that you have to use it the most, is when you think that things are not going. They're always going for you. You see? So you have to, you know, have to see that, and don't buy into the illness and so forth. See John healthy and vibrant and filled with life. That's the way that one's done.
You have to put a belief in that, correct? You have to believe it as you're seeing.
Well, of course you have to believe it. But we all believe it, you know. What is the affirmation? Does anyone remember the affirmation?
And where the quote is that I have the energy of believe.
No. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Everyone is going to have unbelief, even the Pope. So, you have an unbelief, you have to get rid of the unbelief. I believe, but now you, God, help me with my unbelief. Show me something. Give me a sign. Do this for me. And the universe will come to your aid.
Yeah.
What's the other one? I just said eight. Does anyone remember the other wonderful one I love? Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. You have to be bold. And most people are timid, they're saying. You can't be timid with this. This is what I want. This is the way I want it to go. So you have that power.
So the boldness comes from your conviction.
Yes. And that boldness is what sends the energy through you and sends that emotion through you. Because you want to get an emotion going, you see.
That's one of the big tickets.
Oh, that is
ancient hermetics.
Yes.
And some gusto in.
Yeah, I have to put some gusto in it, you know, and how many people make affirmations and so forth, or these treatments and so forth are so milquetoast that they're never going to get a thing from it. You know, you can't be milquetoast. You have to be. No, it's true. You know, they hem and haw with that stuff. I hate that.
I think a lot of people who are listening to, at least some of the classes we take, they're so poetically spoken.
Oh, well, because.
And then it's like, well, who thinks that? I'm just like, say it the way you mean it. And don't worry
well,
about how grammatically correct you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, because people want to
they
want to prove that they're intelligent all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to prove that they can do all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they go off on these tangents and so forth, which means nothing. Who do they think they're impressing? You can't impress God, you know. You cannot impress God. I don't care how big your prayer is or how flowery or you cannot impress God.
Affirmative prayers.
Yeah,
pretty flowery.
Oh, yes, they go on along and on and on. Oh, God. I had when I knew a minister, he couldn't give a treatment if the world came to an end. But I'm not telling you. Just be simple. You're just talking to a friend all the time. And how do you express yourself to a friend? You know, but when you say, oh, I'm going to pray to God, then, oh, my God, I've got to be biblical. I've got to be this. I've got to be poet. No, you don't. Hi, God, how are you? Here's what I want.
Well, we're in a very traumatic setting, so.
Yeah.
Here's what I want.
Yeah, here's what I want.
Yeah. But I thought that we already have everything.
Desire.
Do you have everything?
Do you
have everything?
I believe that I'm supposed to believe that.
Well, stop doing that.
I think that I am independently wealthy. I have abundance. You know, that this is the belief from the church, which, you know, if I go to the metaphysical church, that I already have all these things. So I'm, give me something or whatever, about how you just said it. You said, I want something.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we already supposedly had everything.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't.
Well, then.
but it's
well,
sort of a dichotomy.
You know, you're not affirming lack there. I think that's what you're getting a little bit. You're not affirming lack by
kind
saying
of what,
what
saying.
You want. You're not affirming.
Yeah, I don't
you're
have
not,
that.
You're not
so
that.
Yeah, I'm missing this in my life.
Yeah,
so
I think that. He'll clear that up for you.
Yeah. Just here's what I want.
And know that you're
going to
get it.
And know you're going to get it. But most people,
but
I mean,
don't acknowledge that I don't have it. It's like the dinner tonight.
Yes.
Don't say, like I said, you know, I don't have money to be spending a bunch of money on for dinner tonight. So that was showing lack.
Mm-hmm. In a great way.
I know
you're sitting beside me.
I know. We talked about
well,
but that
I corrected
was,
you.
You did. That was showing lack.
Yes, it was.
Instead of
and bad taste.
Oh.
And hunger.
No, you can't see. That's one of those small things that you have to work on that so that you realize what you have to pay attention to what your mind is doing to you. And your mind is trying to destroy you all the time. You may make all these affirmations that I have everything, prosperity, abundance, and all.
and then you blow it. As soon as you sit down and say, I can't afford this, then it's gone. That affirmation you made, it's gone.
What's the best way to say that?
Well, if you don't have, if you're in a restaurant, you don't have the money to buy an entree, you say, at the present moment, I choose not to purchase that. But you never say, I don't have the money, or it's too expensive, or any of that stuff. You cannot do that to yourself. No, I say just work on that, and you'll get it.
To take it a step further, I mean, I don't want to sound like an idiot here, but sorry about that. But it works both ways. You know, we're constantly going to be asking for the help that we need from God and those, you know, that energy. But I would say that I aspire to move into a place of knowing.
Yes.
It's kind of a two-way street.
Yes.
You know, I have experience where this Christ energy has come into my sphere. I walked into the room literally, and someone else picked up on it and mentioned that Jesus just walked in the room, and I said, well, I'm not surprised. You know, we're both in the same game on different rungs of the ladder. So, it's not so much about humility, it's just I'm honored. You know, that when something takes an interest in me that way that we look up to. But as much as I ask and ask and ask and ask and ask, but I still know that the miracles we can move into the, you know, a closer relationship to what we're asking for.
We have to be open and receptive to everything. You did something, and I'll point it out now, when you were talking, as you said, funny. See, the closed hand and all, it should have been money. With an open hand and an open heart, you're ready to receive. You can't receive when your fist is closed. This is the little things that you have to master. So, because we're doing all this stuff, so I'm not taking on anybody, I'm just trying to, I probably did that in my life too, but now I realize money. So that I see it coming. And so I see it powering up, coming from everywhere. Who's that? Health? Can you see the difference?
Yeah, I can. It feels much better.
Yeah.
And, close your heart.
Yes.
Yes. Don't give it away.
Even with everything.
Yes, exactly.
Always. Whatever
open.
It is.
Do it. Does anyone remember the Shakers?
The Shakers?
Yeah. They weren't people. That was a religion, the Shakers. The only thing left of the Shakers is Shaker furniture.
Yeah.
Beautiful
Shakers. Shakers.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
those Shakers. Well, they went like
Amish.
And they circled the room dancing.
They literally shook.
Oh, yeah, Shakers. But they kept their palms up and open to receive.
So you're dancing under your tree of abundance.
Yes. Catching anything that's falling down.
More please.
Yeah. More please, absolutely. You don't know that one, do you?
No.
Anytime you do an affirmation
like
or any of that stuff, you have to say more please.
Thank you.
If I give you $100, you say thank you very much, more please.
So I'm not greedy.
You can't be greedy.
She's new to this. Leave her alone. She's new to this. Leave her alone.
She's greedy. That's the worst one. Now that's the world taught
There's
you greed.
Enough.
There's no such thing as yes. And more than enough.
More
so
than
have,
enough for everyone.
Excuse me.
Yes.
And I have this kind of struggle going on because I've worked with someone and it seems like I'm always paying. And then I started,
Oh, you get it.
Yeah, she's not, you know, she's always coming with no money. And, you know, she gets hungry, and I was hungry, and we don't eat. And I, you know, I don't know what to do about that. I mean, I'm
have you ever sat down and talked to her and said, you know, I think you're a lovely woman, and I certainly do love treating you, but I can't do it all the time.
Set your boundaries if it's a hardship.
Yeah, I think it's boundaries.
Yeah, so you have to tell them. Because now she's accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. And she's taking it back to it. And we don't like it. No, just sit down and say, you know, I enjoy treating you, but I can't do it all the time.
And I have a friend that I'm your friend that pays for my meals very often.
And what do you say? Thank you very much.
It got to the point where I was feeling uncomfortable. So I talked to her. I said, Nancy, you know, I don't feel comfortable. You're always paying for everything. And she's Buddhist, and she says, taking and receiving is the same thing.
Yes.
She says, you're giving me an opportunity to be a giver by your being willing to take.
Yes. You see, so you can.
So that made it a little different way of looking at it.
Yeah, because you insult the person. If they want to give you something and you don't, you do that, you see. They're open and they want to give you something. That's a rude thing people do. It's, oh, no, don't give me that. Give me more, I say, please.
Well, after that conversation, it's been okay.
Good.
Because now I accept, and she is...
Yes, you know. But why didn't you accept it right away? Because you don't know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter.
Because it just didn't seem right.
Why didn't it seem right? Who taught you that? The world.
I felt that I was taking advantage of her.
No, you're not taking it.
Well, I mean, we had to work through it.
Yes, well, you did work through it.
Yeah,
I would feel that way, too, unless we have a conversation.
Yeah, but have a conversation.
My friend is taking advantage of me.
She is.
That's how I was feeling.
Well, if someone repeatedly paid for things every time you went out, I would...
And buying groceries and helping with the car and your home. That.
Maybe your friend thinks you're Buddhist. Yeah.
I don't know what she thinks. She just goes, okay. Why are you bringing any money?
It's okay to do it, and she wants to do it, and she thought enough about you and loved you enough to do that kind of stuff for you.
And it's for her. She says, "I'm giving her a gift."
Yes, absolutely.
Which I hadn't thought of it that way, though, but I do now.
Good.
Yes.
Okay. And say more, please.
More, please.
And when are we going shopping?
Yes.
No.
Let me pick this
one. I have offended always when I go to see her once they take me to the grocery store. Do you think I say no? She loves to pile up the cart, and I take maybe one item or two. She says, that's not enough here.
Same. Exactly. Same. Exactly.
I love it.
More, please.
More, please. Absolutely.
Oh.
Just accept everything. It's all gifts from God, people.
Yeah,
you know, God's giving it to you, not her. But she's just a channel.
She's a conduit.
Yeah.
I had no problem receiving from men.
From men? Yes, because you were taught that.
No.
Okay, people. Questions?
That's the door to the restroom.
Yes.
That's my question.
She's sneaking out. Go ahead and rifle through her purse.
Do you know how Emmett Fox talks about the secret place?
Yes. The secret place of the Most High?
Yeah. It sounds like a pretty nice place.
Yes, well, it's inside of you. You can find that.
Can we talk about that?
About the secret place of the Most High?
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. It's inside of each and every one of us, and you have to be able to find that place inside of you. And that place is, you know, that's where you'll find the kingdom of heaven and everything else. Your authentic self lives there. You see, we just forget about that. We forget we have an authentic self. But you can go, just close your eyes and say to yourself, I'm going to the place of the Most High, and you'll arrive there. Yeah. I use it all the time.
I've used that golden keys for about a month now. Non-stop.
Yeah. Well, then it works, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Golden key is the idea of keep my mind stayed on me. Yeah. Golden key, keep perfect peace of he whose mind is stayed on thee. The golden key is don't have a problem, and if you think you have a problem, start thinking God. You just think God instead of sitting there, oh, how am I going to do this? Where is this from? Oh, you have to know God's there.
I started it on one situation. Now I'm finding myself on everything. The minute a thought comes into my head,
absolutely.
I'm like, and it's negative, I golden key it right away.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a you can get by Emmett Fox, it's a little testee, little pamphlet, 6 pages. Read it, and it will change your life.
Oh, what's that one called?
It's called the Golden Key.
The Golden Key.
That's how you golden key something. Yeah.
You could get it at Alexander.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, and we were playing on the street, you know, making groups of friends, we had a golden key club. Wow. In a playhouse, it had a little gold key.
Mm-hmm.
That was the name of our
little. Yeah.
You don't think that we really need to deal with, like, the inner child and the...
Oh, my God, no. Now you see that is race mind, and that is that's complete psychobabble. Now there is an inner child perhaps inside of you. If there is, then take that inner child and say, you know, I'm a grown up now, and I'm going to take care of you. Yeah.
I don't tell the shit. Take care of you. Well,
yours you should tell. Change yours. But all that, you know, that's good to read all that stuff, the inner child and all that. I can't remember right now who wrote that.
Bradshaw,
absolutely. The inner child. Yeah. But those are concepts, you see. Or we could call the mind a construct.
Yes.
And you have to... If you want to believe that there's an inner child or just anything, then feel free. But the main thing is to realize that God is healing you all the time and getting rid of all that psychological garbage that we picked up growing up and through life. We pick up all this wasted stuff. We don't need all that. You know? So... I told you about my friend. This was years and years ago when I used to be a seminar junkie. And this was Leonard Orr and Sandra Ray did a workshop called Loving Relationships Training.
Training.
Loving Relationships Training. And there was a lady in that thing, I can't remember her name at the present moment, but it'll come to me. Anyway, she went off to 2 weeks in Hawaii with Leonard Orr to do this thing, and she said, Dallas, I was there on the third day, and she said, all of a sudden, I thought, well, I can't sit here 2 weeks, and she said, I just held up the palm of my hand, and I went, healed! And I could not. And I often do that to myself. I go, oh, healed. You know. You can heal yourself. You don't need all that.
This is the Leonard Witch.
Leonard Orr. Yeah, it said with rebirthing, of course. You never met Leonard Orr?
No.
No. But Louise knew him quite well. I met him several times. I never could stand the man. She thought he was great. I thought he was an idiot. But anyway, he could breathe, right? Yeah. And Leonard Orr, I think, is still alive, in fact. He believes in physical immortality.
You mean that our bodies go on?
He's planning on living forever.
Including his body.
Yeah, he's still alive and he's quite old.
Really? He was preaching that?
He was preaching physical immortality, yes. That's why I thought maybe he was a charlatan of some sort. But who knows?
And it's possible under the right circumstances.
Absolutely. So everything is possible.
We haven't found those circumstances yet.
Yeah. Well. Perhaps we're living longer and longer and longer and longer. And it has nothing to do with medicines, people. It has to do with consciousness. Mm-hmm. Okay, because we used to think, oh, you died at 40 or you died at 60. But you know, now we're living longer and longer and longer. It's all your mind doing this stuff to you. Next month, which is in 2 days, I think, the title of the month will be "I Don't Play That Game Anymore."
That's good.
I don't play that game anymore, and I think it's going to be fantastic. A fantastic month of realizing, because if we're going to move on this plane of action and move on as a civilization, we've got to stop playing these games. That's all life is, you know, it's one game after the other, but we're playing the wrong games all the time, you know. So we have to, I don't play that game anymore. I don't get myself tangled up with that stuff. See? Pardon?
You have to look for a new game.
We have to look for a new game, absolutely. And we will. We'll find a new way to go through life. That's what this teaching is all about, remember. To teach you that there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. We'll work on that next month. I'm thrilled with it and excited about it. And here again, I'll tell you, you know, I get these. I was in bed when that came to me. I had to get up and write it on my 3x5 cards. Yeah. Any more, Andy? A question? No. You always have questions.
Can you just give the keys again?
Affirmation, those, that, what you want?
Affirmation, I came for that one. I think for the second one, I think. Okay, what was the second one?
Well, I have to think myself.
What were these keys of what?
The keys of the kingdom, the different ways to find and to get into the kingdom is imagination.
Feelings. Intuition.
Oh, those sound really good.
All thoughts. All that.
Yes.
What's the last one?
It's all thoughts.
Okay. That's nice.
Yeah. See, we live in a mental world. Yeah, this is a mental world we're living in, but we don't have to do it that way. It's always spots, spots, spots. Did that help you, Esther?
Yes.
Now you're caught up, you have them all. Well, so now make the affirmation, I have the keys to the kingdom. My mind is at peace.
What was the golden key, August? What was that one?
Klamath Fox. You're talking about, it's what he said, instead of thinking of your problem, you just think about God. Anything that you think, that you want to think of God, whatever is works for you, there's, I mean, in there he says it, there's no, it's six pages to read, there's no right or wrong. You know, you can go and say God is great, God is good, God takes care of me, whatever you want to do. And
or I'm always being taken care of.
There's a silver key too, right?
I never heard of that. I only know the golden.
Oh, I don't know that. You're thinking of a silver spoon.
The golden key. That's by the box.
Yeah, it used to be about 50 cents. I don't know what it would be today, but I do know that Alexander, too, in Pasadena town.
Silver
chalice.
It's interesting because I had lunch with a friend who was a friend with her. She wanted me to talk to a friend. It was just now, just went to the first service for metaphysics, you know? She's going through a really pretty horrible divorce and this and that. And it was interesting to talk to her. And I said, you're looking at the facts and not the truth.
Yeah.
She said, I don't know what that means. I said, there's hungry people in the world. There's more than enough food. That's, the fact is there's hungry people in the world. The truth is there's more than enough food to feed everyone. But then she started to question me and it got me thinking about it. Because of, well, you know the same, what we've all asked in our time. What about people that get cancer? What about that? So, you know, I said, their subconscious believed in that somehow. I said, you have to be sure. We track everything in life. And that's really interesting to watch somebody starting this teaching. And I think the hardest thing is to acknowledge that you are responsible for everything. Just like that, yeah.
Sue, do you know the difference between a fact and truth?
Well, yeah.
A fact, your bank account may be very low right at this moment. That's a fact. The truth is money is always freely circulating in your life and you always have a divine surplus. But you look at the fact. You must always look at the truth.
Mm-hmm,
facts change. Truth always remains the same. Name one fact that you've learned through your life that hasn't changed.
Equals.
Pardon?
Einstein's theory of.
That's not a fact.
A fact, the sun goes around it.
That's not a fact.
Well, a fact?
Facts are little things that are made up in the world, you know.
Cat has four legs.
That's not a fact. It's a reality. A fact is...
What? That I'm sitting here right now?
Well, a fact that will tell you one out of three people die from this.
From heart disease.
Yeah. Well, that's just a fact. The truth is, your heart belongs to God. So hope he's going to continue to beat. That's the truth. See, but we get tangled up in facts all the time.
Years ago when you taught us that concept, I put it into practice and my life changed when I stopped worrying about how the bills were going to get paid every month. I went into knowing something always, you know, there's always something waiting for me.
I do believe that.
Hmm?
I absolutely believe that.
And
because it's always been true.
When I stopped worrying, it took a big chunk out of the equation.
I get that.
And it made it easier for the abundance to flow in.
Well, absolutely. The abundance is not going to flow in when you think that. That. And the other thing is, if you think you can help it, get out of the way. You can't do a damn thing, people.
This isn't that worrying, and that is duality also. Because if you're worrying, you're not walking with God.
Well, if you're worrying, then you're saying that there is no such thing as God. No, you can't worry. Do not worry, and it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.